Resurrection Sunday. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good to see you this morning. Are you ready to worship? Let's stand and worship this morning. Hallelujah. It's okay to sit too. Right? Amen. Well, Luke 24, they went to the tomb, and the angel said, "He is not here, but he is risen. While he was still with you, he told you this. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified, but on the third day he will rise again." And that is what we're celebrating this morning. And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Amen? Amen. Lord, I just thank you this morning that we get to come together. I thank you for the freedom to be able to do that this morning. We just want to honor you with everything we do and say this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor. We celebrate you. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. Here we go.
Good morning. God bless you. Good to see you. I can actually see I got my glasses so I really can say it honestly. I can see you. Normally I'm like, I can't see you. Hey, no, it is a blessing to see you. I see some old faces. I mean, no, like old person, like not age. I mean, like, you know, we've seen before. Boy, I'm just getting myself in trouble. By the way, my name is Pastor Jason. God bless you. Welcome to Word of Life Family Church. He's alive today. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Let's try it again one more time. He's alive today. Amen? Woo! All right. There it is. Hey, I just want to welcome you. I want to let you know, if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to know this. Without a shadow of a doubt, no doubt about it, according to what God's word says every time he says, I love you. He cares for you. In fact, that's what we're here for today, to celebrate that God loved us so much that he sent his son, came from heaven here to earth so that we could have relationship with Almighty God. Amen. Woo, man. Thank you, Lord. Because on my own merit, forget it. I'm not making it. I could try to be good. Sometimes I'm good, right, honey? Okay, see? But it wouldn't have been good enough because God is holy. He's perfect. He's mighty and he's awesome. But he made a way. And so when we sing hallelujah, that's what we're singing. Hallelujah, you made a way for me through Christ Jesus. He's risen. Also want to remind you, there are a lot of religions out there, but let me tell you something. This is the only one where God is alive. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I should get off the stage. Should we keep going? I just want to say hello. God bless you. Welcome. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We honor you, God. We lift our hearts and our minds today. In fact, Father, right now, we just shake off the dust from this week. And now we focus on you. God, I thank you that we're not here by accident. We might have come by tradition. We might have been drugged here today. But God, I thank you that you're not a God of accidents. You're a purposeful, mighty God. And that I believe you called us all here in this moment, in this time, because you had a message, a word, a change that you wanted to do in us today. So God, we welcome your presence here. God, we love you. We thank you. You are amazing, awesome God. We welcome your presence here. Have your way. Do your thing today. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's worship.
Love could not be overcome.
sing it. We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Thank you for this love. So worthy, so worthy, so worthy. I've been thinking about this the last 2 weeks. As John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world." In their Jewish culture, they would know what the Lamb represents. Like, hold on a second, what? Our family has to pick a lamb every year, and we have to bring it into our home, and we have to love the lamb, and we have to take care of the lamb, and then we have to sacrifice the lamb. Behold the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. My sin. Behold the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. John recognized him as the Lamb. The disciples knew him. They walked with him. They loved him. The Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice for us. Not only was he sacrificed, but he was risen. He rose by the power of God. And it says he's seated at the right hand of the Father, still making intercession for us. Still praying for us. He's like, you see that one? And Jesus is like, oh, my blood covered him. He's good. My blood covered that one. So him and God are having conversations. He's like, hold on a second. My blood covers that one. 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 Isn't he good? It blows my mind. Like, as much as I try to think about it with my brain, I'm like, ah, you're so good. Like it says, he loved you first. While we were dead in our sin, it said Christ died for us. Thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I thank you that your spirit lives inside of us so that we can love you back. I thank you for your grace that has been deposited to us to help us to live the way that you live. To walk like Jesus walked. What does it look like? Dig in and look and see, what does it look like to live like Jesus? Dig in. Right? Amen. Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that worthy one more time, that chorus, worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
High and lifted up.
so worthy, so worthy, so worthy.
Praise you, Father. Father, we thank you that you are worthy. You are a spotless, perfect lamb. And that you willingly went to the cross for my imperfections, for our sin, our not following after you. Father, you so beautifully, so willingly went to the cross. God, you are so worthy, and we thank you today as we celebrate the resurrection, as we celebrate that there is a new life in Christ, a new start, a renewed hope. In a time when we need hope like never before, God, you will come on the scene. You are worthy, God. You are mighty, and you are great. God, I pray this morning that all would understand, that all would hear, that you would penetrate the hearts and the minds and tear down the confusion and open up the understanding so that we might know you better, that we might see how much you care and love and who you have created us to be when we receive Christ. God, we give you praise today. We honor you. We glorify your holy name. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome, Father. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 Yes, God's good. Amen. 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 You may be seated for just a moment. We're going to change it up. Worship team, you're going to stay here for just a moment. They have a special song, but we're going to go ahead and receive our offering. Brian's going to come help receive that and pray over that for you. I want to remind you, if you're giving today, we're going to actually pass the plates today. So if you want to do that, of course, if you want it, we have offering boxes on the wall. If you need an envelope for your giving, if you're giving by cash, do that so you can get tax credit and all that good stuff. But I'm excited that we have an exciting day in store today for you. So we wanted to get right to it. And I think there's something special for kids today. I don't know. Is anyone, kids, do you know if there's anything going on today that's for you? Woo! All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and do that. So Brian, you'll share with us, pray with us.
Pray for me. So there'll be a bucket getting passed around, but I put a dollar in it already. So if you just want to pass the buck, that'd be fine. Yeah, they still feel sorry for him. So I had something I knew I was going to share that was more than that, I hope. And yes, I was going to read from Malachi 3:10. And which is just really one of the most inspiring tithing messages we get from the Bible out of all of them. And here it goes. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And when you read that and you think about who's saying it, the God who created the universe, who can give anything, wants to pour out on you for your obedience in giving back that tenth that he gave you to begin with. And that is why it's just easy to get on board with the idea of tithing and the blessing that's going to come from it. Amen? And just keep that in mind as this morning and every day as you work and earn, and anytime you have income, think about where that's coming from. And how he already blessed you, and then for another, you know, obedient 10% back, how he can continue to bless you. And when you have that attitude, it really makes it easy to get on board. Amen? Amen. Let's continue. According to God's word, let's confess and claim together. Jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, gifts and unexpected income, increase in sales and commissions, new clients and customers, inheritances, hidden resources, inventions, new business opportunities, lost or stolen items returned, checks in the mail, investment growth, promotions and advancement, supernatural favor, and abundance to share together. Amen. I don't know why that happened. Abundance to share together. Well, that works too. It's all the letters. They're just turned around, I think. actually, it is close. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your son dying on the cross for us and rising again. Amen. And we just thank you that in that memory and just an opportunity to be respectful of that, that when you bless us, Lord, that we can give back and we can give to others and we can bless others the abundance you've given us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne, to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed. Inside my tomb of sin, you were buried for 3 days, then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Jesus.
Amen. Glory to his name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, again, did I say good morning already?
Yes.
All right, good. There are a few kids like, yes, you did. Well, as the worship, did the worship team do an amazing job today? They do that every week, by the way. They're that good. But we're so thankful for them. We have a couple announcements very quickly, so we're going to play a video, and then we'll get right back with you. All right, yes, awesome. Some fun stuff happening. Amen. Well, I guess what? I believe it is that time. Time for our kids. How many love our kids? Amen. Well, what we like to do at Word of Life, they are so special and so important that we love to pray over them before they go to class and before they enjoy their day. So all of the kids, come on up. Up to sixth grade. Teenagers, you got to stay there. Up to sixth grade. Come on up. We want to see you. Give them a hand as they come up. All of our kids, come right up on stage. We are so thankful for them. See, if I stand here, I feel like I'm one of the kids. It feels good. It feels nice. Why are you laughing so hard at that, huh? Hi, guys. Good to see you. Well, let's just reach out our hands towards the kids before they go to class today. We just want to pray a blessing over them. They are so important, and they are so awesome. And let's just honor them today. Father, we thank you for our children. God, we thank you that they are gifts from you to us. Father, I thank you that you've entrusted us with them, that we might teach them and train them in the way they should go. Father, I also thank you that because of Christ in them, that, Father, they have the Holy Spirit that resides in them, which makes them mighty warriors. So we come in agreement with your truth that they are, in fact, mighty warriors. Father, we just pray a hedge of protection around each one of them, that as they go forth, they share your word and your might. And, Father, I thank you that they will accomplish what you've called them to accomplish. God, again, we say thank you so much for our children. What a blessing they are. Father, they're beautiful both here for us, and they're also beautiful for our world as they share the gospel. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give our kids a hand as they go to class. All you teachers, raise your hand. 4K and younger goes back towards that way. They're waving and up from that. So kindergarten to sixth grade goes back that direction. While they're doing that, why don't you do me a favor, stand up and greet someone. Say hello and tell them how good they look today. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and get going. The kids are getting ready. I want to say good morning again, remind you if you are a guest, we're so thankful that you're here today, and you should have received a little a card today. If you could fill that, we have a gift, a special gift for you if you're a guest. Brian can't have one. He's been here too long, but he always tries. No, just kidding. Want to make sure that we just want to say thank you so much for coming. You know, I know it's a big deal to take time out of your day, out of your week, to spend with us, and so I want to say thank you for spending your Easter Sunday with us. It is a blessing, and again, it's nice to see some familiar faces, man, it's just amazing. I want to remind you, by the way, just so we understand, we know, hey, by the way, we have service every Sunday at 10 a.m., so come on over anytime, we're excited to host you. And I want to tell you, if you are a guest, by the way, you need to take that title off now, because we believe that when you come here, once you run through the doors, now we officially call you family. So you're no longer a guest, now you're family. So let's get busy, right? Let's get doing. Let's get moving. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we're here because there's some reason we're here. Neil, do you remember why we're here? What's the celebration? I know, it's difficult, yeah. I think maybe it's the winter, this third winter we had just a couple days ago. It's kind of messed with the brain a little bit. Yes, and our friends, they just came back from Punta Cana, yeah. So they have a little extra tan to them, and I'm jealous, and I'm trying to hold it back. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a blessing. We have a beautiful day today. But more importantly, over all of that, we have an amazing Savior, a beautiful, beautiful thing that God has done for us. So we've been in a series over the last few weeks, and if you're like, oh shoot, I missed it, it's okay. This is the best part of the whole series, so you came on the right day. But we've been walking in a series entitled Rewire. Now, Rewire, in its entirety, what it really means is that God in His might and His awesomeness has given us the opportunity that we can use His word and we can kind of rewire what life is doing to us. So in other words, in this way, when God came into your life, when you became a believer, the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. But He also reminds us that because of this new man, now our body and our soul is still the same. Our spirit has been born, reborn, new. And so what we see through scriptures, we see that there is something that we can do, that we can partner with God. And it's amazing that He called us to partner with Him. But He asked us to partner with Him that we can take what's already done inside of us and we can rewire through His word so that it can come from out of us into our day to day. And so and this would help us to walk through everyday life. Anyone ever have any difficulties? Okay. Good. I heard someone laughing. Yeah, there's that. But remind you that God, though we won't avoid having difficult, He has given us the keys to help walk through those challenges. And so I'm so thankful for that. But you know what? We have to renew our mind to that truth. We need to go back to the Word to remind ourselves that that is an ability. That is something that God has promised and given us. It's a gift, really. Not only do we have promise through salvation, we have the promise of a tomorrow eternally in heaven with Him, but He also says that I've come that you may have life here also on earth. And so understand that we can enjoy that as well. So this is really what the series has been about. So you're all cut up, so that's good. But this is, like I said before, this is the best part of the series. Because this is, without this part of the series today, this message, we could never do any of the rewiring that God says. It's only released or opened up for the opportunity for us through Christ Jesus. And so we want to look at that today, and we're going to be looking at Mark. But before you go to Mark, I want to give you the context scripture for our series. And if you're interested in it, you can watch the rest of the other parts of the series on our website at any point. You can jump on that or on podcasts, wherever you're listening to podcasts. But I want to read this scripture in Romans chapter 12, because this is really the context, the foundation for the idea of what we're talking about. And it's from the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this letter to the Romans. And in verse 1, read it with me, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Now, this is the good one. The next one, verse 2, is where we really get the understanding. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So again, we see that as we renew our mind or rewire to the truths of God's word, it helps us to understand God's will. One of the biggest questions that I get as a pastor is, I don't know what God's will is. I don't know what I should do. And He shares with us, as we spend time with Him, He'll reveal it to us. And that gives us some peace. That gives us some direction. That gives us some hope. And of course, that was all contingent on one thing: Jesus coming, dying, in rising again, so that we could participate and we could have a relationship, and that the veil was torn, and now we can come boldly to the throne room of God and welcome all the promises that He has. If you're excited about that, can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. All right, that's good news, right? Mark chapter 16. Today's installment, we're going to talk about the greatest rewire of all time. The greatest rewire of all time is in Mark chapter 16. We're going to look at a couple scriptures here that kind of share this in this. Now, I believe that this is absolutely the greatest story of all time. Now, before we get, like, it's not a story. It is a story, but it is a real story. It's a true story of a God who loved us so much. And we're going to walk through this small journey here in just a moment of seeing the love of God for us and what He did. It's a story that brings hope. How many need hope? Amen. Amen. How many know someone that needs hope? Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. We need hope. And this is the message of hope. How many need answers to difficult questions? Yeah. Amen. This is the key to that. This is where we can find it. And so this is really more than just a story. It is real life. It is truth. And it's found in Mark 16. But let's pray. Father, we love you. And we just rest in you in this moment. God, I thank you that on this day, on this resurrection day, this Easter day, that we can come not in hopes of something better, but can come with the reality that you've already done something better. So, Father, it's in that understanding that we listen and we lean into you so that we might be continued to be renewed to your truths. God, I pray that if anyone's here that doesn't have a relationship, we would take this day. I can't think of a better day than this day, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ and the opportunity of relationship that they might receive you today. God, however, wherever you find them today, wherever minds or hearts they find them, Father, I thank you that because of your might and your power and your goodness, that you penetrate our hearts and our minds so that we might see you, hear you, feel you, might be transformed by you today. Father, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7, we're going to read this, but I'm just going to read first couple verses here. Mark chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body." Verse 2, it says, "Very early the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb." Now, I already said this is one of the greatest stories, and in order to have a greatest story, you always have to have a good setting. You watch any good movie, they set you up first. And so we have a setting here. Now, at first glance, on the surface, it doesn't look spectacular. It doesn't look exciting. Here we are, we see some women that are coming to perform a ritual in which they would have done this regularly. This was a normal thing, and they were coming to perform a ritual to embalm the body of Jesus when the Sabbath was over, and they have come, which would have been, Sabbath would have been Saturday, and so now they find themselves on Sunday, which I would declare is the first Easter Sunday. They find themselves in a place, in a situation of Holy Week. Now, Holy Week started a week ago from today. So last week we celebrated Palm Sunday. Okay? Everyone tracking with me? Good? Okay, so here we're going to count this now so we understand. So Sunday is the first day of the week. Sunday is before this Sunday was Palm Sunday. Now come with me. Jesus came to Jerusalem to start the Holy Week on Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday, now I don't know if you know this, but numbers are important in the Bible and Scripture. And the sixth day is known as the man's day. We reference Genesis where it talks about where God created the heaven and earth and all this. And on the sixth day, he created man. And he said, "It is good." Turn to someone and say, "You're good." Turn to the other neighbor because they need it too. So the sixth day represents man. Now we know that the sixth day, that Friday, Jesus was crucified. Saturday, the seventh day, that was seemed silent in the natural, but in the spiritual was making something complete. And by the way, the day seven or number seven is the number of completion according to God's word. It is a complete day. But now we find ourselves on the eighth day or Sunday, that first Easter day. And by the way, eight in the Bible means a new beginning. Now, for some of you, you're like, "Well, that's kind of coincidental." No, that's on purpose. Because we serve a God that's on purpose. And I want you to see this because I want you to understand that that's how amazing God is. That he purposely, when we think it's coincidence, when we really think that's, wow, that's interesting, wow. He's like, "I'm on the scene and I've thought of it all for you." And so if you're following on your points, that's the first thing I want you to see today. I want you to see this, that God, I believe that what we discovered in this truth is that on the first day, the early day, the very beginning of the day, the eighth day, they discover that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. And so I believe this signifies the first thing. This is what we first need to understand about God and what Christ did, is that our God is a God of new beginnings. Our God, your God, the God we serve, the God we love, the God that sent Christ Jesus so that we could have relationship with Him, is a God of new beginnings. Now, I don't know about you, but there are days when I need a new beginning. There are days when I don't want to do the same day over again. But I need a new start at times. You know those times when we're feeling really hard-pressed, really overloaded by the things of this world? It's like, oh. And God promises, He says, if you will follow in Me and you will stay in Me, I'm a God of new beginnings. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Let me say that again. The old is gone and the new has come. Amen? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. He's a God of new beginnings. He's not a God of history. He's not a God of old, a God that doesn't do anything anymore. He's a present, everyday God that's always ready to do something new in us. So those times when you feel lost, when those times you feel hard-pressed, those times when you're like, can't see anything, God is saying, I'm right here and I've got a new beginning. Are you ready to start over with Me? I love that. I love that it's not contingent on my abilities or the things I do right or the things I do wrong. That God, in His love for us through Christ Jesus, says, I'm a God of new beginnings. Now, the truth is, of course, we'll find ourselves doing wrong things, and we should not do that. And if you're in the middle of sin, get out of it. But I want to let you have good news. God loves you. He doesn't look and say, oh, boy. No, He didn't do that. He wouldn't have do that. And sent, in fact, He sent Christ Jesus in the middle of that kind of a thing, when at the worst state, when people, even the people that were to claim to love God and honor God, were not really honoring God, and God came for them too. And what am I saying? God is a God of new beginnings, but it's not just for yesterday, it's for today. I don't know what the enemy's trying to tell you, but I'm certain that it's trying to tell you the opposite of this truth. I'm sure that he is working overtime to tell you how crummy you are, how messed up you did, how badly you thought, how difficult the life was and the week was. But I've got good news. God is a God of new beginnings. Amen? And that's His word. That's His truth. And that's part of why we come today, to celebrate, to remind ourselves of that truth. Let's continue to read in Mark chapter 16. I want to read a few more passages of Scripture. Can somebody say, God's so good? God's so good. Amen. Mark 16, verse 3 and 4. It says, and verse 3, it says, and they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? So here we have these ladies. So let me read. Let me start back here. And they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? Now, I want you to see this. I want you to understand. Here's what God's saying. And this is what they're sharing here, is that these ladies were, even in their grief, and they were doing what God had asked them to do. They were doing what needed to be done. But there's this stone in the way. A lot of theologians say it was probably well over 500 pounds. We don't know for sure. But apparently it was large, it was big, and it was probably, and I'm not saying that women aren't capable, but this was bigger than even men could move. And these women are like, who's going to move this thing away? What are we going to do? And I wonder if we can relate to that, just in life. I wonder if we can relate to the idea of trying to move forward and trying to do the thing, but there's this barrier that seems heavier than we can bear. Heavier than we could ever imagine removing. Heavier than ever thinking, like a relationship that just cannot be restored. An addiction you just can't seem to break. A heart that just can't seem to get healed. A relationship that can't be restored. I wonder if we find ourselves in a place where a doctor's report shares us this burden that we just can't seem to get out of the way. I wonder if we ever place ourselves in that place, and you want to live for God, and you want to do the things for God, and you want, but there's this barrier, this thing that stops us. It seems too big. Has anyone ever felt that way before? I certainly have. But as we read verse 4, look at verse 4 of Mark 16, it says, "But when they looked up," somebody say, "Look up." It says, "When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away." The stone they were worried about, the burden they were worried about, when they looked up, they noticed that God had already removed the burden. God said in His Word, "I am a yoke-destroying, burden-removing God." And so what the point is this. They went. They, by faith, they went. By the way, they knew the stone was there, and they spoke this. How are we going to do this? God says, "I've got it already." I love how God goes to our future and remembers and takes care of the now for tomorrow. The difference was that these ladies, even though the barrier was there, knew it was difficult, they decided, "We're going to go do it anyway." Not knowing how or when or what, but praise God, He was on the scene in that moment. Can I declare to you today that the God that did this is the same God that we serve today? That He didn't just roll away stones and barriers in the past, but God is an everyday God. He is not a respecter of persons. He says, "I'm always with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." We got to look up. We have to understand. The times when we're like, "I don't know how I'm going to do this," praise God, God says, "I've already taken care of it. There's already an answer." We find ourselves, who's going to do this, crying and finding ourselves in this place, but God says, "I've got it done." Jesus says, "It is finished." The rewire to His Word is to remind our minds, our hearts, to remind the thing, the barrier that seems to be in the way, to remind it of God's truths. What's cool about how God works is that when they arrived, the angel was sitting on that rock. He was sitting on the thing. It was like the power of God was like kicking back like it was no big deal. I love that picture because we need to understand that God is far more powerful than we understand. He's so much greater, and He so much more loves us than we understand. I know that because there's no way, as much as I love everything, I don't know that I could give up my own kids. But God did. In fact, humanly, I do everything it is to protect my kids. And so we should, but understand the heart, the mindset, the idea that God, His only Son, sent so that He could remove the barrier between Him and His kids. And then when Jesus gave His last breath and said, "It is finished," even though in the natural it didn't look different, in the spiritual, God was fighting a spiritual battle so that on the eighth day, there was a new beginning for you and me. Hallelujah. That is something that we can take to the bank. Amen? He removes barriers. He is a barrier-removing God. God wants us to trust Him. God needs us to trust Him and that He has already made the way for you and me. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. I want you to think, imagine that there, whatever that barrier, whatever that thing, whatever that maybe it's a behavior, maybe it's a thought process, maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's whatever it is. I want you to picture God like these women. They came to the place of knowing, okay, we've got to do the duty, and all of the while they're doing what that God had called them to do, God had already removed the barrier, and I declare today that that's true for you too. Picture that. Look at that. Receive that as God's word for you today. We declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. These women had an understanding they didn't lean on. What are we going to do? I mean, I could see them having this conversation. They could have this conversation. What are we going to do when we get there? I don't know. Well, we shouldn't even go. But they went by faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. He will remove the barrier. Isn't it awesome to know that we don't have to remove the barrier? He does it. He just asks us to walk towards it. I love that. That God is that good that He doesn't have us to do the heavy lifting. He's already done it. He just wants us to be there so we can see what He's done. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Mark chapter 16, verse 5 and 7. The last part of this is probably the best. Tell somebody, I'm ready for the best. In verse 5, it says, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He's not there. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now there were two words that if we really ponder them can bring real tears to our eyes. Because he singled out somebody. In that statement, Jesus didn't single out John. We know that through Scripture, John was the beloved one. It wasn't Thomas. He didn't speak about Thomas, so we know that Thomas was the doubting one. It would have been good to have that. He didn't do that. Why did he single out Peter? You said it says, and disciples and Peter. It's because Peter was guilty of a sin that was so serious, so harsh. See, Peter had denied Christ. Peter, by the way, means rock. And yet, in that rock of who he was, he denied Christ. Imagine for the moment you might have been Peter. Suppose, think for this moment that you might have felt that you might, in that way that you might have felt when you denied the Lord, like Peter had. Imagine the process. Don't you know that you would have had thoughts kind of like this, like, man, I've committed the worst, awful sin. I'm like, oh man, I've messed up. I'm like, I saw miracles. I was with God at the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw him raised. I saw while I was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the blood drops as he prayed so earnestly. I saw miracles. I saw multitudes be fed with a few fish and some bread. I saw all this, and yet even with that, I denied him. I want to go so far to say this, that one of the biggest attacks of the enemy for a believer is our identity. Who we are. And like never before, Peter was questioning his identity. He was called by Christ, he was called a rock. But seemingly didn't live up to that. In fact, very much did not. See, Peter was interesting because not only did he deny Christ and knowing Christ with the soldiers, which I could get, and like, ugh. But also the servant girl. No one, someone that had no opportunity to really hurt him, yet he even cowered to her. And like I said, you can imagine the mind Imagine the time when you might have done something wrong, when you knew it was sin, you knew it was against God's, and you could see the mind just going 100 miles a minute. The Bible talks about the enemy, Satan himself, is what we call the accuser of the brethren. And he is quick. He's quick to say, yeah, go ahead, do that, touch that fruit, go ahead, do that sin, do participate in that, yeah, deny Christ, protect yourself, do all of this. He's quick to say, and as soon as you do, he's like, gotcha, I can't believe you did that. Peter on the rock. Maybe you felt that way before. I'm a believer, I'm standing strong, and then don't stand strong, and the enemy's like, and you call yourself a Christian. You did this, you thought this, you said this, blah, 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 and the enemy just bombards us. We're being honest, we're being truthful, we're being real. But the enemy is trying to steal your identity. Matthew chapter 6 talks about him being the rock and being firm. What we find out is that not only is Jesus speaking that over, but he's speaking into his future, into his true self. And Peter, I'm sure his mind was swirling and going all kinds of places. He had sinned. There was just no easy way to say it. He'd fallen short in a desperate way. But the Lord sent him a special love note. A special reminder. I want you to go tell. He's not here. The angel said, he's not here. He's alive. Just as he had said, now go and tell the disciples. And don't forget Peter. Peter denied him 3 times. 3 times he sinned purposely against God. And God still had a beautiful, beautiful message of good news. Let Peter know. I'm alive. Let Peter know I love him. Let Peter know I haven't forgotten about him. I haven't given up on him. Let Peter know I still see his identity in what I said and declared over him. Despite what he said, despite what he did, despite what he felt. That's the God we serve. That's the God who loves you, who sent Christ for you, who cares for you, will move heaven and earth for you. Not a God that shuns you, but a God that draws you. A God that when you go off, like the prodigal, goes off in crazy ways and does crazy things, all of the while as you come to your senses, oh man, I messed up, I screwed up here, I can't believe it. Even the servants eat better than I do, he said. And so he's like, I'll go back and I'll have the crumbs that the servants do. But God, in this picture, that I believe the prodigal son is really about the prodigal father, because the father was not far off like, oh man, I don't know. The father was looking and seeking, where is my kid? I'm ready for him to come back. God is always a God that will call you back. He's a God who loves you. He will not forget you. He will not give up on you. He's a God who restores our identities. The identity that when you were created, when it says that before we were in our mother's womb, he formed us. That we are the chosen generation, a holy priesthood. It all comes through Christ. But it is definite and it is sure. And it is God. And so today I'm telling you that God is also, like Peter, sending a message to each one of us and Peter. Now, in my Bible, I've got it in the Go Tell His Disciples, and I've got Peter crossed out, and I got Jason written underneath. Because God says I can do this because I'm his child. He says that I am, because of who I am, because of receiving Christ, I can put myself in this place and I can go, and he can go ahead of me and tell me, remind me when I mess up, when I miss the mark. He's like, go tell Jason, I love him. That's what we celebrate today. And if you don't realize it, if you don't understand, if you don't understand the heart and the character of God and the story of the risen Christ, it is right here. the times and the places when we think we're the furthest away, God is standing, watching, and looking and waiting for us to call His name. And He's going to so beautifully throw a robe, kill the fatted cow. Let's have a feast today. My son was lost, but now he's found. Amen? That's who we serve. That's the God that we celebrate today. I don't know where your life is. I don't know what you've done. I know if you're like me, you're human and you've made mistakes. And also I know that because of Scripture, we remind us that those mistakes are, that the enemy antagonizes us with those mistakes. And so much to the place where we take ourselves out of His presence. Because we're ashamed. We think we've messed up. We think that we've messed it up more than can be fixed. The Bible reminds us that God can do more than we can ask or imagine. So no matter where you are today, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what you experience tomorrow, because Jesus paid the penalty of sin from yesterday and for tomorrow. Now, we worked hard. We worked diligently to try to stay in His love and to honor Him the best we can. Now, I want to remind you that when you receive Christ, that you have deposited within you the Spirit of God. So He doesn't just tell you to go do it, but He rests in you. And that's where it says He never leaves you, because He's always with you, which means that you can always call on Him. Now, the enemy is going to try to tell you, don't call on Him because you messed up. And God's saying, this is exactly the place where I want you to call on Me. This is exactly where I want you to be. God does miracles in places that you never thought He would do a miracle. We need to call on Him. He restores back to our true identity. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The message of Jesus' resurrection, it's a rewire. It's something that we have to switch, change. And we do have an enemy. We have a force that's trying to tell us it's not truth. And this is why it's important to spend time in Him. And to spend time, not duty, not just reading like, oh, I got to do this, just check, 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 church check. Okay, good. Bible check. Okay, prayer check. No, it's about relationship. It's about He wants and desires to spend time with us. And what's cool is that as we do, we become more like Him. We begin to smell like Him. We begin to walk like Him. And that seems amazing because He's amazing. But that's His promise. That if we no longer conform to the pattern of this word but renew our mind, we'll be transformed into Him. It's His word. His truth. That we have been given the opportunity to rewire what the enemy meant for evil, God has turned for good. Amen? I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to close today. God doesn't want our past, your history, or your sins to keep you away from Him. If you hear that, know that that is a lie from the enemy. God doesn't want you to continue to participate in that sin, but He doesn't not want you to come to Him. He restores you back to who He planned you to be. Remember back when I said that in Genesis it says it is good? Jesus restores us back to that place where God said it is good. Doesn't mean we're always good by action, but the Spirit of God in us has been restored. And so what we want to do and what God has offered us to do is to take what has happened here and to let it bubble out to here. The past does not define you. God already defined you. History is not your identity. Your identity is what God said when He formed you. That's what He says. The very reason that He came, the very reason that He lived, that He gave up heaven to come here to live on earth, the very reason He died and went to the cross and was resurrected was so that we could receive back our identity in Him. So of course God doesn't want us to shun Him or walk away from Him when we mess up. That's the whole reason that Jesus came. Don't let the enemy lie any longer. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He's not mad at me. He loves me. He cares for me. And He's got good in store for those that love Him. God is a God of new beginnings. I declare that God is a God that removes barriers. And finally, I declare that God will restore back your true identity. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your truth and Your heart and Your love. God, I pray in this moment, I can't think of a better day. There might be some here that have said, you don't know what I've done, Pastor. Well, I'm going to tell you that no matter what you've done, Jesus already came for it. Maybe you've ran away from Him. Maybe you've denied Him. Maybe you're just so terribly confused by the things of this world that you just haven't spent time with Him. Wherever you find yourself, know that God is looking for you. He's inviting you to climb up on His lap. The Bible says that that not only is He sovereign and He's mighty, I am great God, but He is also, He said, we can call Him Abba, Daddy. And so in this moment, if you feel far off from Him, know that God is not far off from you. And very simply, He says that if we believe and we begin to confess, He will be our Lord. And even if you're like, I've done that and it didn't take, we're not doing something, we're living something. And we're here to support you. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And if that's you, if you ran away, or maybe you're like, I've never seen this. I didn't know that He cared for me, that He loved me. I pray that you see it today. And He wants you to receive Him. Romans chapter 10, it says, but what does it say? The word near you, it's in your mouth and your heart. This is what the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It says anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't say you have to be a certain age. It doesn't mean you have to be old or young or have to be in a certain amount of church time. And all it has no qualifications other than believing in Him and confessing to Him, God, be my God. I need Your help. If that's you today, I want you to, by faith, I want you to say yes. Now I'm going to pray a quick prayer first over you, and then I'm going to invite you to receive Christ today. Renew your life to Him. Holy Spirit, I just pray in this moment right now. God, in this most important, amazing day that we celebrate, that if even one would come into Your kingdom in this moment, God, one would say, I need to be restored back to my identity. I see that You care for me, that You're removing burdens, that You're a God of new beginnings. I need that new beginning today. I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of your might, Father, you might quicken them to receive that truth today. We thank you for it, God. We know that you are a God that removes stuff. I pray for clarity of mind in Jesus' name right now. Open hearts in this moment today so that we might become the bride that you've requested of us. That we're ready when you come. We're prepared. We're set. I pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. And so normally, sometimes we'll pray and we're like, raise your hand, secret, but this is so cool. Every one of us has been in that boat before. If you've received Christ, you had the before Christ life. You had the place where you needed to make decisions. All of us were in that boat. None of us. It says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Pastor's probably one of the most greatest people I've ever known in my whole life, Pastor Sellers. But is even as good as he is and was and has always been, he still needed to receive Christ as his Lord and Savior. His goodness didn't get him in. It wasn't good enough. But the other end of it is if you really think, whoa, but I'm really bad. I'm like totally opposite from Pastor Sellers. Guess what? God came for you too. And so my heart is that you would receive to him today. Rededicate your life today if you haven't before. If you're like, I think I've lost the understanding that he loves me. I want you to receive him today. So today, we're not going to like sneak in. We're going to be excited. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to be excited with you. If that's you today, I want you to say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to have what God has for me. Even if you're like, there's people looking at me. We're looking at you because we're so excited because we're like, hey, another one on the team. Hallelujah. It's not like we're like, this is what we're here for. If you leave here without receiving Christ, we've missed it all. That's the only reason why we have church. That's the only reason why we have music is because we're connecting you with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So if that's you, raise your hand and say, I'm ready to receive him right now. Amen, 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 amen. All across this room, heaven is cheering right now for you. God is saying, yes, my son, yes, my daughter, welcome to the family. I'm ready to receive you. I've been waiting for you. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. All of us, let's just do it together as one body, unified together. Father God, thank you. For sending Jesus for my sin. I receive you now, Jesus. Understanding you are God's Son. They came here so that I might receive you. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Restore my identity in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Woo. God is so good. Now I'm cheering and I'm excited because I want you to get a picture. This is what heaven's doing right now. The Bible says when just one, and we had more than one, it just one says yes, they're like, woo-hoo-hoo. And that's what we're doing for you today. Welcome to the family of God. Hold on to your hat. God's ready to do something amazing in your life. Now, I want to pray with you. I want to have an opportunity to welcome you to the family personally. I want to pray with you if you would be willing to just meet with me for just a moment. I just want to say congratulations, hug your neck, and love on you. And I would bet that there are others also that are so excited they can hardly stay in their seats right now because they're so excited about that truth. See, this is the God that we serve. And this is the God we love. And I'm so thankful that you came today. And more importantly, I'm so thankful because the kingdom was advanced today. There's new lives written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Amen. He is alive forevermore in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him praise today. He's awesome. He's good. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to pray a blessing over you before you go. And I do want to remind you, we will still be here next Sunday. So come on back. We'd love to have you. We probably won't have cookies. We'll still have coffee. But we're so thankful you came. And I just pray a blessing over you. If you just do me the honor, let me just pray over you today as you go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this awesome, awesome people. God, I thank you. They're awesome because you created them, you made them, and you have your heart and your mind are for them. God, I just pray a hedge of protection around each one of them. God, that you would keep them, cover them in your truth. God, that you would, in your might, would reveal how much you love them this week. I just pray a hedge of protection. No evil shall befall, no plague come, neither dwelling, that you would send your angels to take charge over them, keep them, protect them, all that they are and all that they do today. Father, I thank you that we go out, as we go out because of Christ, we go out on top with you. That your word says we're blessed when we come in and we are blessed when we go out. We believe that in Jesus' mighty name. We love you and praise you. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. One more time. Give him praise. He's awesome. Love you. God bless you. We hope to see you next week. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.